This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And we're really excited to bring you this program as we steam our way toward the holiday season. And with this right now, as always, a co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. 763-438-1621 or rippleconnects.com. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Fred Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to be with you. And as we go into the end of the year and as 2022 is approaching, you're talking today about making meaningful career moves next year. And what can you tell us about how you came up with this idea, meaningful moves? If you haven't made them at all in 2021, what are we doing? What's the idea?
Well, the idea is coming from there's so much that's changed since a year ago when we were talking about the job market. There's so much disruptions. We're talking supply chain. We're talking staffing shortages. We're talking the nonprofit sector that's meeting its challenges. There's more needs. But I do believe for somebody, an individual that's looking to make a career move in 2022, I think 2022 is an opportunity to make that meaningful career move, meaning that's a move that you anticipate that you're seeking. It's not a lateral move, but it's a good move. It's a positive move. I think with so many things affected going into next year, I think this is a year for someone to be able to make that good career move based upon their experience, their leadership, their cognitive diversity, their transferable skills. All that is going to help what I just talked about, what's impacting our world. Can we change the world? No. But can we impact an organization? Certainly. And that's through a lot of the things that we already have. And that's why I think it's a prime year for a meaningful move, because the world needs us.
Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, and this week we're talking about making meaningful career moves in 2022. So how do you start to prepare? You gave an example of supply chain problems. How can someone make a career move, and how do they leverage their knowledge about supply chain to really have an employer look at them and say, this is the person we need for our company?
Well, I think it's our job. It's your job, our job as a job seeker to know what are the challenges that are existing out there. We can't go in there without knowledge of supply chain issues or nonprofit funding issues or increased needs for services or staffing shortages. We, the job seeker, have to make sure that we're knowledgeable about the situation that we're stepping into. That is first and foremost. If you're going to make a meaningful career move, you have to be aware of those challenges so you can harness everything that you bring to the table. So that's first and foremost, Freddie. Know, read, talk to people. Make sure you understand why this is happening. And then you can pivot to what you bring to the table. I've talked about how 2 years ago I helped to lead a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. Well, there were some unique challenges that I knew going into it that I tackled, and I'm still tackling it because we're in the middle of a pandemic. But I went in with my eyes wide open and my transferable skills, my leadership, my experience help overcome some of those challenges. And I think that's how every job seeker should approach 2022. The game has changed. The industries have changed. Do you agree that just from a year ago when we talked about, can you imagine the things that we're discussing now on a regular basis?
Things have changed a lot in just 12 months, and they're continuing to change. How does that impact nonprofit funding? You mentioned that as one category, and it seems to be that's a little different. How does that impact a meaningful career move with nonprofit funding?
Well, many of the nonprofits are struggling for funding because of the increased needs. And so, therefore, making a meaningful career move may have you look at that nonprofit, that experience that you brought from the for-profit or academia or wherever industry you're coming from. That may be needed to overcome some of the challenges that nonprofits face. There's many people that are struggling today, and I lived that firsthand. So I've seen increased needs, and the funding sources are being stretched. There's more needs, so it's more competitive. that's just an example of how somebody who's looking to make a meaningful career move may see the nonprofit in Minnesota, that sector, as somewhere that they can make the most impact. And that's just one example, Freddie. What if you have to you have to move forward with less staffing or less availability of parts or, you know, filling customers' needs? All of those are real, and all of those are the things that when we make a meaningful career move, we need to know what we're stepping into, more importantly, how we're going to meet those challenges. And I do think one of the areas that we can focus on as individuals, we all have transferable skills, Freddie. We've talked about this for a number of years. You should know what your transferable skills are so you can tackle some of these challenges out there, the transferable skills of time management, leadership, communication, technical skills, all of those transfer to various industries. And when you know what your transferable skills are and then also know what some of the challenges are of some of these sectors, then you're talking on an even plane with an employer.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this morning. We're talking about making meaningful moves in your 2022 career expansion. And you talked about at the outset about engaging your bench of advocates in this idea of making sure that we are in touch with our key benefit areas that we bring to a potential employer. Talk about how the bench of advocates can help in this regard.
Well, I think having conversations with them will help you to have a more informed and nimble job search. And what I mean by that is we can only read so much on the internet or in, you know, in journals and so forth. That firsthand knowledge of people that are in that industry already may be as beneficial as anything you read. And that's why it's so important to engage with your career advocates, those people that know you. They know your transferable skills. They know your soft skills and what you bring to the table. The bench of career advocates are going to give you information that you may not have had unless you engaged with them. And that's going to help you make a more informed career move this coming year. And hopefully it's a meaningful one, because those advocates, Freddie, they're the ones that are going to be honest with you. They're going to share with you willingly what they know. And they're also not wanting you to step into a situation where it's going to be negative. And I think a meaningful career move is a positive move. It's not just a move to make a move, but it's meaningful.
Talk about how volunteering can help in this whole process of making that meaningful career move.
And this is where I come at it a little bit unorthodox. Sometimes volunteering in a capacity complements the career that you're trying to ascend to or move into. You may not make a career move that results in a different job at the end of the year, but maybe volunteering is that first step into a new area. You know, the nonprofit sector as a volunteer on a board, or even just mentoring in some of these other sectors may allow you to see some information, know the situation, the environment that you may want to step in maybe towards the end of next year or in 2023. I don't think anybody should underestimate the power of making a good career move that's based upon finding a fulfilling volunteer opportunity. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree wholeheartedly with that. And, you know, that I believe that is the key to the whole process of what you're talking about this morning and making a meaningful career move next year. And when you bring all that together, it seems that there's almost a guaranteed win. When you look at it on whole, we're just about out of time, but can you go up, just outline the key takeaways for this week's program? Because I think it's really important for those listening with paper and pen or maybe on their iPad trying to keep track of what we need to be doing to make sure that the meaningful move we make takes hold.
Absolutely. And the four key takeaways, it's your job to know some of the situations, the environments that these industry sectors are experiencing, the supply chain, the staffing issues, what have you. It's also, you should know what your transferable skills are so you can have a thoughtful conversation with those employers who are experiencing those issues, and always engage with your bench of advocates so you can have a more nimble and informed job search. And finally, consider volunteering. That might be an opportunity for you to make that meaningful career move. It may not be that job right away, but it may be where you step into a new environment, new industry sector through volunteering.
Well, that's really incredible. So know the industry, know what your transferable skills are. Make sure that what your skills are the ones that are in demand right now. And you mentioned consulting with your bench of advocates, and consider volunteering as a way to really enhance your career, that move coming into 2022. Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
The long-term effects of the pandemic is continually evolving, and experts are saying, and you know how they are, they're predicting that cardiovascular disease, also known as CVD, which is already the number one cause of death in the United States annually, will continue to increase over the next few years. And that's not good, and is especially deadly for Black Americans. Joining us right now, Chantel Quillette and Selena Gore, the CEO of Women Heart. Tell us, is there any good news with regard to CVD?
You know, CVD, as you just said, is a leading cause of death. And about one in four deaths are caused by CVD, which includes heart disease and stroke. So, and unfortunately, almost half of us have some form of CVD that we're living with today. I would say that where the good news is you can do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, of course, you know, there are some things we can't control, but there are things that we can control. When you know your numbers, know what your blood pressure is, know what your cholesterol is, that's really critical and really important tools to help you begin to take control of your health.
I was speaking with a doctor not long ago, and he says, Freddie, you need to have a blood pressure monitor in your home. Is that good advice?
Yes.
Really?
That's excellent advice. In fact, I've got a blood pressure monitor right here next to me, and it's something that is actually a really good indicator for when you might need to call your doctor and find out if something is going on with your heart.
We're talking about disparities in healthcare, especially as it relates to cardiovascular disease. Selena Gore, I'm wondering, what does Women Heart do?
So what we do is we are the only patient-centered organization that focuses on women with heart disease in the U.S., and we provide peer support. We know that this is a powerful, powerful tool to help women along their heart disease journeys. Connecting women to other women who have similar experiences has been a really, really empowering program in order for women to take charge and be their best advocates in their health care.
Is it true that when a black person or a person of color comes in that the test, the battery of tests, is not as rigorous as it would be for other people?
You know, this is really, really an important issue. We talk about disparities in healthcare, and this is one of the things that we as an organization are really trying to tackle. Talking about misdiagnosis and delayed diagnosis, obviously, and in particular in women, that's the group that we are looking at. But we do see disparities, unfortunately, when it comes to Black Americans in particular. And these disparities in diagnosis are just one of the many ways that we are trying to improve the healthcare system.
Shanta Quillette is with us this morning, and you were physically fit when you ran into a bout of heart disease.
I was. I actually was 34 years old. I was active, living my best life and fabulous, but that did not stop me from having heart palpitations and fluttering and other issues that led to me having a heart attack in 2018 and then a stroke in 2019.
Wow. So did you take yourself to the doctor, or how did you get the help you needed?
So here's the thing. You know, we were just talking about disparities. I went through a few doctors before it led to my diagnosis, you know, really just knowing my body and knowing that something was going on. But I was reassured that, you know, there was nothing going on. It was stress. I was diagnosed with, you know, cardiac and exercise-induced arrhythmia, which was basically, you know, when I exercise, you know, my heart gets a little bit overwhelmed, and they told me to kind of calm down on that. But there were more issues underlining that I believe that if doctors would have, you know, really looked into what was going on, it may have prevented the heart attack and the stroke. I thought I was doing everything that I was supposed to do, but some things are out of your control, and that's why it's important to know your body and go to the doctor when things feel alarming to you.
You're scaring me. Are you okay now?
I am great. I am living my best life and will continue to do that. I am very proactive in my health, and that's why it's important for me to educate, you know, other women, especially Black women, when it comes to our health. Just making sure that, you know your family risk, you know your numbers, you know, you have a doctor that you can trust, and you just know your body. You know, if it doesn't feel right, it isn't right. And for me, a lot of people don't like going to the doctor. They feel like it's not going to be worth their time. But I tell you, it's better to go to the doctor and find nothing wrong than to stay home and be put in a casket. So, you know, do your due diligence when it comes to your health.
You better preach. I'm telling you what.
You know, hallelujah.
This is near and dear to my heart. I was living in Texas. My mother lived in Kansas City. That's where we grew up. We got this telephone call that my mother had been rushed to the hospital because of a stroke. She hadn't been found for hours, and she eventually, over time, died from that malady. And it could have been prevented. It was not diagnosed. And so, talking to you, Shanta Quillette, talking to you, Selena, this I hope that it resonates with someone that they'll take a loved one or take themselves to the doctor and say, look, take a deeper look mm-hmm. at what's going on with me.
Yeah, that's really, really, really important. That's why I'm so glad that we've partnered with Novartis here. And so if, you know, others need information on their cardiovascular health and want to know how they can be proactive in their health, they can go to thelegacywelead.com. Thelegacywelead.com. You can get all the information that you need to make sure you're living your best life.
All right. Selena, do you have a final thought this morning?
I would just reiterate Shanta Colette's point and to make sure that you stick up for yourself in the healthcare setting. And if you know, you're not getting the answers you want, keep on going. Be your best advocate. Learn more. We can talk for hours, but thelegacywelead.com is where you're going to find great information.
I can't thank you ladies enough for sharing vital, life-saving information with our audience this morning.
Thank you.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Have you ever felt stuck trying to break a habit or change a way of thinking? Positive Habits is our point of focus. When you have great habits, you can break any thought or behavior pattern that holds you back. When you willingly release the patterns that cause you to feel stuck, great things start to happen in your life. You can break free of that limiting behavior, and then you're open to consider what's really true about you. In place of the bad behavior, infuse yourself with power, strength, and vitality. You're actually free to be all that you can be. Right now, all you have to do is choose positive habits and attitudes that support your well-being and the talents that you bring to the world. Good habits are a point of focus. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining us right now, the esteemed Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University of Minnesota, epidemiologist, and has served as White House advisor. Welcome back to the show, Doctor. There's still a high level of COVID transmission, according to the CDC.
Good morning, Freddie. It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Let me start out by saying that the news of this latest variant, which was given the name Omicron by the WHO, was not at all what I was hoping for on the holiday weekend. Needless to say, it interrupted many of our weekend festivities. In a way, though, there's almost a painful level of irony that comes with its arrival being announced over our Thanksgiving. If ever there was a more prescient reminder of the tricks that this virus has up its sleeve, this is it. So what's the scoop on Omicron? Well, we're really in the earliest phases of better understanding this version of the virus. Of course, that understanding will improve with the accumulation of time and more data. So we'll be learning a lot more over the next few weeks. In the meantime, we already have several pieces of data that we can look at. And from what I've seen to date, this variant has some very concerning elements. These are the elements that I have been so concerned might in fact end up being part of our COVID-19 picture. As I have labeled it over the course of the past few days, this is the 210-mile-an-hour curveball coming in straight and center. Let me back up a little bit and provide a quick overview of Omicron's emergence into the scene. On November 11th, the sample that was collected in Botswana was selected for genomic sequencing. Remember, sequencing basically gives us the genetic blueprint of the virus from the sample. Once we have the blueprint, we can see all the mutations that the virus contains and use that information as an ID, almost akin to collecting fingerprints. So prior to this sample, a lot of the sequencing being done around the world would review the usual suspect, which we know is the Delta variant, or at least a very close relative. However, with this sample from Botswana, a new fingerprint was detected. It was still SARS-CoV-2 virus, but the mutations it contained made it clear that this was a new variant and extremely different from anything we'd seen before. On November 23rd, after the sequencing was completed, the group from Botswana uploaded the genome onto a database used worldwide, which allows researchers to compare variants and get a sense of what's spreading in different areas. Later that day, a separate team of researchers from South Africa posted similar findings from a sample collected there on November 14th. Shortly after that, South Africa reported the variant to the WHO, which gave it the name Omicron and officially designated it as a variant of concern. So why did Omicron receive this designation so quickly? Variants of concern can be placed in at least one or more of the following buckets. One, they can be inherently more transmissible. Two, they can cause more severe disease. Three, they can have a heightened ability to evade the immune protection that's offered from vaccines or prior infection. Fourth, they can be less vulnerable to existing therapeutics and treatments. And five, they can compromise existing diagnostics so that we don't actually pick them up in a way that we would normally do with our routine testing. With Alpha, we really saw the first variant of concern that was much more transmissible and was associated with more severe disease outcomes. As you may recall, it was with the advent of Alpha that about 1,000 light bulbs went on inside my head. And I realized at that time that the variants were going to be a much bigger challenge. I said back last April that I thought some of the darkest days of the pandemic could still be ahead of us. That was not a well-received or popular comment. And for a while, people said, see, look how wrong you are. I don't say that today to say that we were right or wrong, but the fact that I hope that we now finally have our arms around this virus in a way of understanding it's not done till it's done, and the variants can make that done moment a long ways off. In addition to seeing the Alpha variant, we also saw Beta, which was first identified in South Africa, and Gamma, which emerged and circulated in Latin America. Most of our concerns related to their apparent ability to better evade immune protection. And of course, with Delta, we've clearly seen increased transmissibility and to a certain extent, some immune evasion. So in each of these instances, the virus contained mutations or a combination of mutations that resulted in some of the abilities that I just mentioned. As I've discussed before, I believe that the one critical aspect of this virus that will make a variant become king of the virus hill is transmissibility. What Omicron brings us is a combination of that with other very concerning factors. When it comes to Omicron, one of the most striking features is the sheer number of mutations it has. In total, the variant contains around 50 mutations, more than 30 of which are located in the gene that forms the spike protein. For the sake of comparison, the Delta variant has anywhere from 13 to 17 mutations in the spike protein. As you know, the spike protein is what the virus uses to attach to and enter human cells, and thus causing infection. It's also the piece of the virus that our vaccines have primarily used to, in fact, recognize and target with antibodies and T cells. So anytime there are changes in this part of the virus, there's the potential for a dampened immune response. With Omicron, there are several mutations it has that have been previously linked to immune evasion. It also contains multiple mutations that have been tied to increased transmissibility. So that's a big reason why it's been designated as a variant of concern. However, to add some additional context, I think it's worth noting that these mutations don't always work in tandem or have an additive impact. In some instances, certain combinations of these mutations can actually work against each other. This means we can't simply look at the mutations Omicron has and automatically know what we're up against. It's what makes the data so critical and the reason is why so many people are working around the clock to provide it. What does this variant mean? So while I acknowledge that the variant's emergence in Southern Africa is relatively recent, the growing body of epidemiologic data from that region, to me, has been quite striking. For example, if you look at the country of South Africa, where community transmission of Omicron has been documented, you can see clear signs of a fourth wave. On November 14th, which is the same date the country collected its first sample that turned out to be this variant, average daily cases in South Africa stood at 285. 1 week later, the average climbed to 564. The following week, it hit 1,976. And as of this past Tuesday, the country was reporting an average of 2,750 cases a day, with health officials there warning that the number could hit 10,000 a day by the end of this week. Most of South Africa's activities occur in one of several provinces, particularly the Gauteng province, which is home to cities like Johannesburg and Pretoria. The same province is also thought to be the most affected by the Omicron variant. In fact, data from the country's health minister suggests in just 2.5 weeks, Omicron has already outpaced Delta in that province and appears to be the dominant variant. Finally, if you look at the latest results of ongoing wastewater surveillance in the country, you can see a clear and marked increase in detections of this virus in a number of locations, which suggests that South Africa's challenges are only going to continue to grow in the near future. Of course, the concerns of Omicron aren't just exclusive to South Africa either. Since the news of this emergence broke last week, at least 20 countries have detected the variant. I said earlier this week that it would not surprise me that by this next weekend into early next week, 40 to 50 countries would be reporting it. So the list will continue to expand in the coming days. Even with the added obstacles of a pandemic, international travel allows this virus to move almost effortlessly. Just look at the two KLM flights from South Africa to the Netherlands this past weekend that made headlines after 61 of 635 passengers on board tested positive for COVID upon their arrival. Of these 61 cases, a total of 13 passengers have been confirmed as the Omicron variant. So despite a policy that required passengers to either be fully vaccinated or otherwise provide proof of a negative PCR test in the days leading up to the flight, you can see what happened. Regardless, although we can see that the Omicron variant has played at least some role in South Africa's latest surge and certainly hitched a ride on those planes, have we reached a point where we know that this variant has changed the game? In other words, will Omicron dethrone Delta as the dominant variant? Honestly, it's still too early to know for sure.
We've got a ways to go yet, which people don't want to hear, but that's the truth.
Thank you for being with us, Dr. Michael Osterholm. Hope to talk again soon.
Always enjoy it. See you later, Freddie. Take care. Bye.
And our program continues right now.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
All right, Jay Hapala with us this morning. Holiday-related scams are likely to increase this year as more people turn to online shopping. The FBI is warning consumers about the most common forms of scams. What are you seeing at AARP?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I don't know if you got all your holiday shopping done or if everyone out there is, you know, still shopping. I'll bet they are. There's still time to make sure you don't come into any of these pitfalls and get your information stolen or lose some money. So I got three quick tips for people today. First of all, watch out for the fake websites and social media ads. They're going to be advertising these unbelievable deals on the hottest gifts that you're looking for. And they're counting on people to act without thinking and start clicking on these websites that they never heard about before, thinking they're going to get a good deal. But those are just fake websites that are designed to steal your information and your money. So that's number one. Number two, I'll bet a lot of you have seen these. Watch out for these fake shipping alerts. So they might come in your email inbox, or people are even getting texts out there, and they look like they're coming from the big retailers where people shop, like Amazon and Target and Walmart, and it says, hey, your $1,000 computer that you bought is being shipped to California instead of Minnesota. And then people start clicking on these links and go down this rabbit hole where they're providing information and money. And the other ones look like they're coming from the shipping company, so it might look like it's coming from FedEx or UPS, but it's really just this fake imposter who's using those popular names to catch people's attention and scare them that their gifts aren't going to arrive by the holiday if they don't start clicking on these links.
Man.
Oh, they've thought of everything. But everyone just needs to slow down a little bit and be cautious. It's unfortunate in this day and age. We just can't trust everything you see on your phone or on the online. Finally, for today, you know, if you do need to look up customer service online, let's say your package didn't show up or you didn't get what you ordered, just be careful you're on the correct website, because they set up fake websites that look like they're the customer service place for the retailer you're trying to deal with. So just slow down, do your research, make sure you're on the right website out there.
Quick question before we leave this topic. What if someone is a porch pirate, they've stolen your package? Is there any recourse for that consumer?
Yeah, so in a case like that, if the say you call your the retailer, or you call the delivery company, they say, hey, we dropped it off on your porch, and we got a picture of it, and we confirmed it with the delivery guy, but you suspect, and what you realize is someone came and physically stole it off your porch, you want to contact your local police department, make sure you get a report with them, and then it's just a matter of dealing with the retailer. If they're going to be good to you and want to get your return business, they're going to help you out with that situation.
Makes sense. Jay Hapala with us this morning. Finally, do you have any ideas for when we get together during the holidays with maybe the cookie exchange or candy exchange or even the holiday dinner?
Thanks, Freddie. So I always say the best thing we can do with all these scams is help each other out and talk about the scams that we hear about, talk about our financial decisions before we make a mistake. The holidays are a great time to have those conversations with your loved ones and the people that you trust. And, you know, what AARP knows and what we've done our research to find out is that military veterans are at a special risk for victimization in these scams. They tend to lose more money when they get victimized. So if you have military veterans in your family and you're getting together for the holiday, you know, maybe go take a look at our website, learn some more about how military veterans and their families are targeted by scams more than the rest of us. And then have that conversation with your loved ones who served and sacrificed, and do them, you know, that kind of favor to help them stay safe this holiday season, too.
All right. That's Jay Hapala, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement. Do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
Well, everyone, you know, don't have to be too scared about scams. The more you know, the more you can go about your life and just enjoy the holiday season. So I hope everyone has a good one.
All right. And Jay, happy holidays to you. And thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Jay Hapala with us talking about holiday scams and keeping your hard-earned money safe. And our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Setting that mood for our souls as we prepare for this first Sunday of Advent. And we consider hope in our hearts and faith in our minds. These two words speak of the great dimension of our being as a divinely created spirit of God, as a holy child. As we begin the adventure that is this Advent season, we can reflect on our expectations of life, our hopes and dreams, what is truly precious to us in the center of our soul. This journey to the mystery of Christmas, or the birth of the holy within, must begin with hope, expectancy, willingness. The nativity story of the Gospel of Luke tells that there was no room in the inn for the expectant Mary and Joseph. We can question our own hearts and meditate upon the words, "Ah, there is room in my heart for thee." Now, there are many songs of the season, and one that debuted just before my birth in the 50s tells of a child's hope for Christmas morning. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. I don't get to sing that very often, but that was a wonderful novelty song in the 50s. But I think there's a little truth. You can just hear that child's longing for something that he wants. It's been a busy Thanksgiving week for most of us, even here at the church. You can see that our volunteers have decorated the sanctuary today in time for this first Sunday of Advent and for a kicking off of the new year in the Christian tradition. So somewhere between the mysteries of the Holy Nativity and the wishes of children, we will find our own experience of Christmas. A 17th century mystic named Angelus Silesius described the holy birth this way: "If Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times and not in thee thyself, then thou art lost eternally." I like to paraphrase it by saying one loses one's eternal nature if we do not feel in an annual cycle this rebirth, a hope of the divine presence in us, and that it will always be with us. Now, if we desire a more significant Christmas experience than shopping malls, holiday parties, or even those hippopotamuses, then we're going to have to take a trip. Well, we don't have to leave the Twin Cities. We can journey in mind. What Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore called mind movements. That is, evolving or developing ideas in our minds. The tradition of Advent, especially in Unity, has grown in popularity in recent years. After years in obscurity, even Advent calendars are stocked in stores again. I often shop at Fresh Thyme down the street. They had a big display of Advent calendars with their little secret treasures behind each door representing the 25 days leading to Christmas. And their first stock included Lent chocolates behind every little door. They're already sold out. They had to bring in other Advent calendars. They've become very popular for families and children in their homes to open one door each day of Christmas or each day of December leading up to Christmas, building that anticipation, that hope evolving within us. The candles we light on the Advent wreath or the candle stand here represent the ideas we're lighting within our souls during the season in order to prepare ourselves for the spiritual birth of the Christ ideal within us at this holy time of Christmas. To truly experience this Christmas idea, we must enrich our hearts and minds with qualities or moods that create a possibility of something new. A Christmas we've never experienced before. Now that's a little challenging. If you're like me, I have a fondness of thinking back of Christmases of the past, Christmases perhaps in my childhood with my family. And that's a wonderful reflection. But it's even more important to look to that Christmas this year, the Christmas just a little bit in our future, and say, how will this experience be unlike any Christmas I've ever known before? That's possible. Every year, it should be a new and wondrous experience in your life with your family and friends and community. But that takes an effort. That takes striving, reaching for, longing for. And that is the quality of this first week theme word, hope. I mentioned how in recent years, a daily word had dropped hope and replaced it with the word faith. And the Advent book that you will receive as you leave the sanctuary today is a relatively new offering from Unity. But I like the fact that they decided in their Unity wisdom to put hope back in the sequence. Yes, in Unity, we talk a great deal about the power of faith. But hope is that first reaching out of the heart for something that one desires, something that one longs for. And that is the beginning of this Advent journey or preparation for Christmas.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.